copy for myself. Okay, it's hard to summarize Helchus Mitzvos in an hour, but the challenge of building modern day Mitzvos is, in case someone comes around, the main challenge of building modern day Mitzvos is, if you go, you know, around the corner from my house, there's a 2,000 year old or something mikvah. It was very easy to build mikvahs in the old days. It took a lot of schwitzing. But you just took your tools, you carved out from the stone a little pit with steps, carved steps, and a big cave, and the rainwater came, filled the cave, and then you tumbled in it. No big deal. The problem is that nowadays that doesn't match our modern standards of hygiene. If the women had to Tovel in Mikvos like 2,000 years ago, then there would be a lot less observance of Taras and Mishpacha. So it's obvious that nowadays we have to Tovel in fresh, pure, pristine tap water. There's no mikvah in the world where you don't Tovel in tap water. Now, in Echanami, they put chlorine in to kill all the germs, but still, they don't like let it fill with rain once and have everyone Tovel for a few years. They continually replenish it, and every once in a while, they refill it with tap water. The question is, how do you make a mikvah with tap water that will be kosher for toveling? That's the challenge of modern-day mikvahs. There's still some kelim mikvahs that are built the old-fashioned way. It doesn't dig in the rock. Some guy digs a hole in the ground, pours concrete, makes a hole in the ground, lets it get filled up with rainwater, and then you tovel your kelim there and bring them home and wash them with soap in the sink. But again, lo haleich for people. So the question is, the challenge of modern mikvahs, which didn't exist 2,000 years ago, is how to make a kosher mikvah out of tap water.
Maybe this is modern. Like, when did this transition take place? From 2,000 years ago?
In the time of the Chronom already. I don't know exactly how far back, but, you know, definitely hundreds of years.
Okay.
So, the first question, if you look, is a famous machlokes Rishonim. How bad is it to tovel in tap water? Our tap water, we assume, is Mayim Shi'uvim. Meaning it's not natural water. She'uvin means that it has been held in a kli at some point. So our tap water, someplace along the lines between the reservoir or the Kinneret or wherever it came to us, has been held in a kli. So Mayim She'uvim is pasul. How pasul is Mayim She'uvim? Is a famous machlokes Rishonim. If you look at Makor number 1, the Sifra in Parsha the Medrash and Parsha Shmini says, just as mikvah mayim, you might have thought you could put a bucket on your shoulder and bring water, mayim she'uvim, in a that's been held by something, and make a mikvah. Tam lomer mayon, mayim b'dei shemayim, make b'dei shemayim, just like a spring is natural, that's b'dei shemayim. Likewise, a mikvah has to be natural, meaning it has to flow there naturally without being carried in any sort of utensil. And that seems to be a doraisa. It's learned from a hekesh of mayim and mikvah. So, shot of the Torah's konim is that mayim she'uvim is pasul midoraisa. However, so let's say swimming pool. Someone goes in a swimming pool, they dunk their head, that's pasul midoraisa. However, the Gemara says, mafurish of Baba Basra, number 2, shani she'iva derabanan. Okay, well, we're made by the soul of she'iva, mayim she'uvim, because that's only derabanan. So this is a flat-out stira. The Gemara of Baba Basra says, absol derabanan. The Medrash, the Torah's Panim, says of Sol D'Oraisa. There's a Machlokes Rishonim, which of these two Makoros and Chazal to take literally, and which to reinterpret. Tosos brings down these deos. Number 3, Tosos right there says, although there's many other Rishonim also, obviously, Miklal D'Sheiva D'Oraisa. That's within the Shaka V'Tari, but then it's D'Rabbanan. So, Rashbam, Rabbi Natan, Mefarshi, the Kulo Shav, Havid Oraisa. No, a mikvah that's made all out of Mayim She'uvim is Pasol Mida Oraisa. Viraya, Midistani, Taras Konim, Mefarshi, Yom Shmini, Mikvah, Mayim Yatar, Yachel Miluk Sefi, also Mikvah, Betchili Yatar, Tamilomer, Achma Yanagor, Mikvah, Mayim Yatar, Ma Mayim Bide Shemayim, Af Mikvah, Bide Shemayim. Okay, so, Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam say that here we have the Psol of Mayim She'uvim. So, Mayim She'uvim, says Rabbi Tam and the Rashbam, it is Pasol Mida Oraisa, like shot of the Sifri. What do they do? And there are other Rishonim who hold this as well, the Ravid and the Rashmi Shans, and others, although they have slightly different approaches, the Ravid and the Rosh Mishantz. The Rosh Mishantz is very important in Mikvos, because unlike Maseches Nida, Mikvos is only Mishnayos. So you don't have the same as many Rishonim as you do on other things, so the Rosh Mishantz is very important. So they say it's Pasul Midoraisa. What do they do with the Gemara of Basra? So the Ravid and Rosh Mishantz is something else. We'll stick to the Rashbam and Rabbi Tam. And the Gemara in Bava Basra, there's already a hint. Their lashon is kulo shav havidareisa. What are they obviously telling us? I mean, it's clear from other, you know, from if you read the whole thing, that if it's all shav, that's a psul dareisa. What are we talking about in Bava Basra? There's a psul called gimelugin mayim shuvim, three log of mayim shuvim pasels. Three logs, the tiny percentage of a mikvah. Three log is a 0.3% of a mikvah. Okay, so the Gemara Barashim just means Gimel Lugim Mayim She'uvim Hoslim Es HaMikvah Midrabanan. Yeah, 0.3%, three log of Mayim She'uvim is a Psol Drabanan. But if it's all or mostly Mayim She'uvim, that's Psol Daraisa, that's just not a mikvah. Okay, there are many other ways to interpret the Gemara Bava Basra as well. However, if you go a little further, the Yesh Lidchos, the Asmachta, he can become a Josh Toras Kohen, and so says, no, we don't have. Maybe Toras Kohen is only an Asmachta. We know that Al Pi Halacha, many things which seem to be darshaned as real dinim d'oraisa in the Midrashi Halacha, and like the Sifra, are really dinim d'rabbanan, and the Drash and Asmachta v'alma. Ulari nira da'fil kul shav d'rabbanan. So that's the second Shita. This is the Shita of the Ri and Tosos. And the Rambam and the Rashba also hold that way. The Rambam and the Rashba also pass that way, series from Rishonim, that it's only Pasol Midirabanan. What do they do with the Sifra? No problem. They say that is an Asmachta B'Alma. Okay, so here, even if you would just fill up a bathtub and you're a small enough person that you could tovel in the big enough bathtub that it holds 40 sa, and you could fit in and tovel there, or even if you fill up a swimming pool and tovel there, then that's definitely puzzle. But according to Rabbi Tam and the Rashbam, it's puzzle midoraisa. According to the Ri and the Rambam and the Rashba, it's only puzzle midorabanan. So if it would be mayim shuvim, what level of psul would it be? Maybe a psul doraisa, maybe a psul darabanan. How do we paskin? So the Mechaber, in a complicated case where the Mechaber doesn't say anything, definitely seems to lean towards a shita d'rabbanan, although he never says anything explicit. But in number four, the Ramah says, "Arbarim sar she'amru," near the beginning of Sim Reish Aleph. By the way, everything is in Sim Reish Aleph. It's the one sim that has all of Hamas Mikvos. It's exceedingly long and hard. "Arbarim sar she'amru tzar shalish she'uvim." The 47 mikvah can't be she'uvim. Shemim she'uvim psulim. And the Ramah, "V'yim kol ha'mikvu she'uvim pasul min ha'Torah." The entire mikvah is ma'im she'uvim. It's pasul mi d'oraisa. Paskins, the Ramah She'uvim is a psul da'oraisa. In which case, we're in big trouble, right? Because we're dealing with the chashash of a da'oraisa. Usveikilachomer, avalim rova mikvah kasher amiru she'uvim enuam jarbana sveikilakula. Yeah, if it's mostly rainwater, it just has three log or more, right, between 0.3% and 49.9% of she'uvim, that's only psul da'orabana. I mean, da'oraisa, you go by the rove, that's easy. But an actual shav is certainly, the way the Ramah paskins, and the Mechaber, it's not 100% clear, he paskins that it's Pasul D'Oraisa, in which case, we have to figure out a way to deal with what could be Chashash of Pasul D'Oraisa. So what do we do in modern day Mikvos to use Mayim She'uvim, but avoid the Pasul D'Oraisa of Mayim She'uvim? So there's one trick that might help. That's called Hamshacha. What does Hamshacha mean? Sorry, look in Makor number 5. Ein amayim ha-she'uvim posel mus ha-mikvah b'shlo shalugin ad she'yiplu l'tokum ha-mikvah min ha-kli. Mayim she'uvim, remember I said 3 log? Remember, 3 log is very little. A minimum size of a mikvah is 40 saw. Our modern people mikvahs are, you know, 200 saw, or 150 or 200 saw. It means we don't make it some tzumtzum. We want a room that you won't feel constricted. So, 3 log is very, very small. 3 log is an eighth of a saw. So an eighth of a saw at a 40 saw, right? It's around 0.3%. So when do the Mayim She'uvim only pass the mikvah with three log? Only if they fall straight from the kli into the mikvah. If they were dragged outside the mikvah, the nimshichu, and dragged on the ground for yordul mikvah, ain't impossible to mikvah. It doesn't pass the mikvah unless it's half, unless it's not possible rov. Meaning, if you have more than three log of mayim she'uvim, but less than 20, then it doesn't pass the mikvah if it falls on the ground and it's called hamshacha and flows into the mikvah. Avelam hayorov and aksherim mikvah kasher. So really, technically, if you have 20.01 sa'ah of rainwater, you could then fill the rest with tap water by doing hamshacha, just opening the tap onto the ground and letting it flow on the ground. Okay, let's assume that the pipe is a kli. Maybe the pipe is a kli, maybe not. But you just, no problem. You put the tap on the ground next to the mikvah. You open the tap, let it flow into the mikvah. Or even you take a bucket and pour it next to the mikvah and it's hamshacha. As long as you start with 21, or 20.01, sa'ah of rainwater, you can fill in the minority with hamshacha. Kate said, mikvah shishbo chaf sa'ah mashu mayim, you have 20.01 sa'ah of mayim kshirim, rainwater, v'ayimamale v'shoev chutz l'mikvah, and you filled up with a bucket outside the mikvah, v'amayim shachu yardin l'mikvah, and you pour it on the floor, and it flows into the mikvah. Beitchim shachem legabe karko b'sochasilim. Whether it's on the natural ground or in a pipe on the ground, kayotz b'mivarsh ein apostles on mikvah. As long as it's running along something, we'll see this controversial. That is not a kli that holds something that would pass on the mikvah. Harei kasher the filush lima elf sa'it's kasher. And even if you make it 1,000 sa, meaning as long as you start with rova mikvah that's kasher, you can fill it up to 40 through amshacha, and then you can add more through amshacha. It won't be a problem as long as the original 40 was mostly rainwater. That's the rule. Kasher, as long as you have 20.01 sa of rainwater. So, for example, let's say you are building a mikvah someplace, and you're waiting for it to rain to get water into your mikvah, and you get 20.01 sa of rainwater. You now have a kosher mikvah. Just take any water in a bucket, pour it on the ground, let it flow on the ground down to the mikvah, and it'll fill up to 40, it'll be rov kosher, be kosher, and then you can just add as much as you want. Now, however, that's not going to help for our mikvahs. If you ever go to the mikvah, right, when a woman told us in the mikvah, they don't first put in 20.01 sa'a of rainwater. What she's totaling, and they don't put any rainwater. So, does this necessarily help us? So let's see. Horu mitzvahs chachamim marav. Some of the sages of the West. Okay, where's the West? I'm not sure where's the West? I mean, the Rambam wrote this in Egypt, not Spain. Maybe he meant Spain. Okay, that's, I mean, also New York, but he didn't know about that. What?
Like all of Europe.
Yeah, maybe Europe. Okay. Anyway, Rambam. Sages of the West said that hol va'amr chacham shuvishim shichur kula ta'ora. Since Chachamim said Mayim She'uvim that you made it all flow on the ground as tahor, they said you don't actually need. They passed it against the standard psak and the standard sugyas. You don't even need most kosher water. How about the Gemara that says you need most of the water to be rainwater, plus the rest can flow on the ground? And if that's Das Yachid is rejected, Shari Amr, Basof She'uva Shim Shichua Kula Torah. Okay, this is how you interpret the Gemara. We're not going to get into it. There are some Paskin who postkin Paskin, a Mayim She'uvim, even if it was all Mayim She'uvim through Amchacha, it's still Tahor. If you just filled up the Kli and poured it, and the water would flow into a one place, Harezem Mikvah Kasher, be Kasher, meaning you could take total Mayim She'uvim, just do Hamchacha, and it would be a kosher Mikvah. According to this opinion of the Western sages, according to this, all of our bathhouses and our baths and our bathhouses are kosher mikvahs because they never pour the water from a bucket straight in; it always flows. Shari kol mayim shem shov v'nimshachu. All the mayim there is drawn and then flows. We never saw anyone who practically relied on this. There is a das yachid like this. What if you would take your she'uvin? What about Sheuva? Shehem Shehuha Kula. It was all She'uvim. And you made it flow along the ground. That's what they do in most modern mikvahs. The water that goes into the mikvah, it doesn't go straight into the mikvah pool. It goes in the ground and then flows onto the mikvah. So, what about She'uvish and Shehuha Kula? So, says the Miktsas Chachmei Marav, it's kosher. Okay, great solution. Just take any water you want, doesn't matter how it got there, pour it on the ground, let it flow into the mikvah, and you're set, according to this Chachmei Marav. Okay, how do you have to do it? So there are rules for how you have to do it. If you look in 7, Nemhei says, Shulchan Aruch says, Shiram Shachazu and Pachim Gibel Tvachim. It's a big machlokas, we pass it has to flow at least 3 tvachim. Not so hard, build 3 tvachim next to the mikvah. Make it slanted, of course, and it'll flow into the mikvah. Memvav, Ein Hamshacha Mo'elis Elagabi Karka. That Hamshacha only works if it's on the ground. Olagabi Tzinor Shaloh Yalesh Hashem Kliba Talosh. Or a pipe, meaning a pipe that doesn't hold anything, a pipe that's open on 2 ends, that was never had the Haloshem Kli before it was attached to the ground. Okay, if it flows on kalim, even kalim that were first kalim then glued to the ground, even if they're clay glolim, which are not makabel tumah, like made out of stones or dung, etc., then it's a problem. It's not hamshacha. No problem. Just do it on the ground, right? Not a big deal. There is an opinion that hamshacha only counts if it's on porous ground. Because then it really like loses its old status, because it's like on dirt, where it might get a little absorbed and might flow. Then it's like a new thing. Like, oh, it was on the ground, it might have gotten absorbed, and instead some of it flowed in. If you do hamshacha on a stone floor or tiles or any of our modern day floors that does not absorb, the kolshkin got me daful kli, and for sure on a board or kli, even if it wouldn't pass a mikvah, lo mahani, it doesn't work. Some people say hamshacha needs to be on porous absorbent ground. That would, we don't have that in our mikvahs, but the total hachil chachilas says our malachachilas should be machmer. But me'ikar adin, hamshacha works as long as it's 3 tfachim on any ground. Okay, lechatchila, if you're going to use hamshacha, it should be on dirt. But, okay, that's a tov lachmer lechatchila. Me'ikar din ki hamshacha on everything. So according to this Chachmei Marav, either we can put some dirt in the mikvah and make the water go down 3 tvachim on the dirt, or we could just not be machmer lechatchila on me'ikar din. If we're stuck, we can rely on hamshacha. The problem is, of course, as the Rambam says, we don't hold like we don't hold like these mikzas chachmei amarav. The Rambam and all the other Rishonim say it's possible. They say no way. Hamshacha only works if you start with 20.1 sav kosher water. If you start with a rove mikvah of kosher water, then you can add through hamshacha. But you can't make a whole mikvah out of hamshacha. They say it's possible, right? That you need to have rov mikvah naturally. However, there's a compromise shita. Says Tosos, and many achronim pass in this way, like number 6. Rav Moshe Nifanteza Doche the Avgav Shiva Doraisahi. Even though she'uvim is a psul doraisa, like the psak of the Ramah, the karka tahar in the ground it's tahar. M'shem she efshalom shacha. A mikvah in the ground, like stam out in the ground, like that the water just flows there. It's impossible the water get there without flowing on the ground a little. The chinaflu me a kli l'ritz b'shicha laka, because once it falls from the kli onto the straight floor, mimshchi l'vgeilach, it flows one way and the other. V'havle k'shi'ivish yimshichu kula. It's like this case of the ram and the mixachas me'marav of mayim she'uvim that's totally made out of hamshacha. Dik she'ra, that is kosher. But doesn't say in Tamura like the Rambam that Hamshacha is only good if you have 21 saw in the mikvah naturally. Hamshacha only works for minority. After dining your banan, that's only your banan. What's this pshara of Moshe Fanteza? Says Tosos, the Harbe Achronim, they say it's possible midrabanan even Lamanda Amar, that She'uvim is possible in HaTorah. They make a compromise. Yeah, it's possible. If the whole mikvah is made through She'uvim, it's possible. But don't think it's possible to write Salafi Achras HaRama. This is Rove Poskim. Okay, look in the Achronim. Most poskim say, you know what? If you do the whole thing through Amshacha, it's possible. We're not that weird Das Yachid of the Mitzvah Schachma, this minority of Western sages. No. It's possible. But it takes it down from Psul Doraisa to Psul Darabanan. So if you do it all through Amshacha, even though the Ramah is not really like reading Tam and the Rashbam and the Raivan and the Rashbishans, that She'uvim is possibly Doraisa, if the She'uvim had Amshacha, even the whole thing had Amshacha, then it's possible Midrabanan. And that seems to be how we. The mainstream psak, obviously we're choshesh for all the shitas. Remember in Mikvos we learned we're choshesh for all the shitas. But the mainstream psak is, let's just summarize. Mainstream psak is that if it's all she'uvim, then it's pasol midoraisa. If it's all she'uvim with Hamshacha, all she'uvim that you didn't pour straight in the mikvah, you pour it on the ground and it flowed into the mikvah, then it is pasul midrabanan. If you had 20.01 sa'ah of megashum, of rainwater, plus the rest is she'uvim, that's for sure pasul midrabanan. That's the psul drabanan of at least 3 load of Mayim Shuvim. And if you had 20.01 Sa'ah of Mega Shamin, plus the rest is Shuvim Al Yedei Hamshacha, then that is for sure kosher. That's where everyone agrees Hamshacha is kosher. So that is the bottom line. If you have mostly rainwater with a between 3 log and 19.99 Sa'ah, of she'uvim, that's the psul drabanan, of minority of she'uvim, as long as it's at least 3 log, 1 drop, is not possible. If you do amshacha, that's for sure kosher. That's what amshacha is there. Everyone agrees amshacha kasha is a minority of she'uvim. What if you have all she'uvim? That's a machlokas, we're machber doraisa. What if you have all she'uvim with amshacha? 3-way machlokas, either us or mutter, or takes it down to a drabanan. Most achronim suna takes it down to drabanan, which means that in many modern-day mikvaos, what is an eitz that they use in a lot of modern-day mikvahs? They use hamshacha. When they open the tap water doesn't go straight into the mikvah, or into wherever we'll see it goes. The tap water goes on the ground 3 tfachim away from the mikvah. Okay, make it 4 tfachim to be on the safe side, right? So that, you know, you don't have to be so exact. And it flows into the mikvah, and then you've at least taken it down to a psul drabanan. That doesn't, none of this makes it kosher. But you want to at least start with a chashash d'rabbanan instead of a chashash d'oraisa. So, again, according to, we haven't had solutions yet. This is just background to solutions. Even though some people say she'uvim is d'oraisa, but some people say she'uvim is d'rabbanan, and many poskim say she'uvim with amshacha is d'rabbanan. So we start with she'uvim with amshacha, which makes it starting at a psul d'rabbanan, and then if we try to have solutions, we're only trying to solve the Rabbanan problem, not a Doraisa problem, which makes us less nervous.
What's that question in Moshe Mitzvah about Karka Tahor?
No, Bekarka, comma, Tahor. If it's on Karka, then it's Tahor. If you pour it on the ground, because it's going to flow a little before it pools. What he means is if it's not you're dumping into a mikvah, you're dumping in the ground, and then it pools in the ground, so it's going to flow a little, and you'll have Hamshacha. And then he says it'll be okay, and it's okay, like the mikvah chas v'yar. Then in the end he says, Abba says it's not okay. Oh, that means okay, no right, so just not to our bottom. Okay, this is not the solutions, but this is the setup. Setup for the solutions. Okay, we haven't solved anything yet, unless you're the mikvah chas v'yar, if we haven't made a kosher mikvah. But we, with Hamshacha, we've at least tried to bring it down to drabanan according to many shitas. Right, many shitas say all shulman is only drabanan. And even though shitas say she'uvim is doraisa, most poskim agree that it's hamshacha is drabanan. We still haven't solved the problem. How do we solve the problem? So these are the 2 ways to solve the problem. If you haven't heard these words, familiarize yourself with these concepts. These are the 2 basic concepts of building a modern day mikvah. Neither of these concepts, unlike she'uvim and hamshacha, are found in Shas and Rishonim. I don't think they're found in the Rishonim. But any halachic literature later is going to work around these 2 concepts. And these are called A, You could or could not use the word bor. A bor zriya and a bor hashaka. Okay, this is zriya and hashaka you find. Right. Just the bor zriya and bor hashaka you don't find. So maybe I was unfair. Okay, bor zriya and a bor hashaka. What is a bor zriya? What is a bor hashaka? A bor zriya works like this. What do we mean by zriya? Zriya literally means planting. What does planting have to do with anything? So, let's say you take a seed. That seed is makabel toma, it might even be tame. Right? And you plant it in the ground to grow something. What happens to it once you plant it in the ground? It becomes tahar. Right? If I plant wheat, even tame wheat, it becomes tahar, because by planting in the ground, I've made it into a new identity, and it's now tahar. Likewise, if I take tame water or she'uvin water. Certainly if I take tame water. What if I take tame water and I put it in a mikvah? Then it becomes tahor again. That's very clear. There's an idea of zriya for water. I take tame water, put it in a mikvah, it becomes tahor again. You can't do this with any other food and drink, right? You can only put people in kale in a mikvah. If I have tame steak, it'll never be tahor again. If I have tame wine, it will never be tahor again. But tame water, I can just dip in the mikvah, and not through tovling. You can't you can't tovel water. But you can zorea water. You can make it part of the groundwater. And then it becomes tahor. Okay. Likewise, it's perhaps, there's an idea called zriya. Maybe you can take she'uvin water and put them in a mikvah and make it mikvah water. As a matter of fact, it's pretty clear in the Gemara that if you add she'uvim water to a mikvah, it becomes kosher mikvah water. So, that's what zriya. Zriya means, how does a bor zriya work? A bor zriya works like this. This is a bor zriya. Okay, now here you're going to see, these are the solutions. There are two solutions. To the best of my knowledge, there are only two solutions. I don't know, maybe someone invented a third one, but I wasn't looking, but I think these are the only two solutions in the world. Obviously, everyone can have their own knetch on them. But these are the two solutions. You know, there are lots of knetches. Some people have two bor hashakas, etc. You know, you can have knetches, but these are the two solutions. What is a bor zriya? Let me see if I can draw it. Here is your... Oh, by the way, another good word when people discuss mikvahs. What do you call the place where you actually tovel? What do you... If you go to the mikvah, you will never see a bor hashaka or a bor zriya. Those are two cisterns that are under the floorboards. I remember once when I was in Mayis Micha, it was a very educational day, they took us on a mikvah tour. When my wife was in 12th grade, they also took me on a mikvah tour. But there was no overlap between the two mikvah tours. We did not see the same parts of the mikvah at all. When the girls are in 12th grade, they take them to see the prep rooms and how clean they are and how nice the showers and the baths are and the soaps they have there. And then they take you to see the actual mikvah and you see how nice it is and it has nice tiles and it's very clean and pristine and it all smells good. And you go down to the water, it's very comfortable. All of that is not halachically, is barely halachically interesting, right? Because that's full of she'uvin, right? When they took us, when I was in Smicha once, I don't know why they didn't do it again. They took us on a mikvah tour. They said, okay, here. Let's open up the floorboards and see the interesting parts of the mikvah. Here's the bor zriya, here's the bor hashaka, etc., etc. How does the bor zriya work? It works like this. What do we call the place the girls see in 12th grade? That's called the bor tvila. The bor that you tovel in, right? Which ultimately has to be kosher in the end. That's the goal, right? So, how does the bor zriya work? It works like this. Here is a bor tvila. Here's the bor tvila. Here is a bor zriya. How does it work for the bor zriya? There's a little tube. Now, what color is water? Water should be blue, right? How does it work? You start with this is how it starts. Starts empty. 40 sa'ah of megasham of rainwater. How do you get 40 of rainwater in there? Not a big deal. You just have some piping. That's not a shashav shiva, right? Meaning you never have like an elbow pipe, which could like hold something. You just have like straight pipes from there up to the roof, and it can have like a cone, right? And when it rains, like a funnel, the rain goes down into that borzria. Okay, is the rain going to be super clean? No, but okay, you know, at first, it'll be as clean as any rain you catch in New York City, which is not the end of the world. And you fill it with 40 of rainwater. So to start a mikveh, it has to be raining. Okay, luckily in New York, it rains 12 months a year, so you just wait till it rains, and you fill it up. Okay, they once made a mikveh in like Omaha, Nebraska or something, and for months and months it didn't rain. They didn't know how to get started. You have to get started with rainwater. Okay, there are solutions, but not for now. And not very mahudr.
Okay.
Right, there is a sheet out there that there's no psul of she'uvim by ice.
Yeah.
And therefore you can like truck ice. But that's not l'chachila. Meaning that's not mahudr, it's not even l'chachila. Okay, so forget that. You get rainwater, no problem. And then once you have 40 sar of rainwater, you close off those pipes, you save them for an emergency in case you ever need to start again, but you never add more than that original 40 sar of rainwater. Right? 40 sar of rainwater, you collect at first, that starts you going. Then, how does borzeria work? It works like this. Here is the Mayan she'uvim. It goes in here. And then, the Mayan of the borzeria goes in here and fills your mikvah. You turn on the tap. Okay, do a little hamshacha to be on the safe side. Turn on the tap. Fill this up. As this fills up, it overflows through this pipe and fills up the bor tefillah. And then when you're done, you stop. Now you have a full bor tefillah. What happens when you need to clean the bor tefillah? You empty it out, and then you turn on this tap again and refill it. And whenever you need, for hygienic reasons, to get fresh water, no problem. You never add water to the bor tefillah. You only add water to the bor zeria. Then the water in the bor zeria overflows into the bor tefillah. And you could do this. You have your original 40 sar of rainwater. Do this for the next 100 years till all the Jews move out of your neighborhood and the building gets repossessed by the bank and sold to a church and they close the mikvah. Then it gets gentrified and the Jews move back in and either they discover it or they don't. Okay, that's called borzeria, yes.
Why? Can't you just have 20.1?
You could have 20.1 with hamshacha. You could have 20.1 with hamshacha, but because they usually don't put dirt ground, they put concrete ground, so the Rama says, l'chachile yishmi macher, not to use hamshacha, not to rely on the hamshacha if the ground is concrete, so therefore, they l'chachile don't want to rely on the hamshacha.
Why do you have to do hamshacha into the borzeria?
Well, the truth is that sometimes the hamshacha is just like, the hamshacha could just be through this pipe, you count the hamshacha, or why do you do the hamshacha? Oh, give me a second. Because in case the borzeria doesn't work, you'll have a tzad b'hakel that it's only psul d'rabbanan. Meaning, what if the borzeria doesn't work? You'd rather it be a suffik d'oraisa. What if there's a machlokas whether it works? Better suffik d'rabbanan than suffik d'oraisa, which is why we had hamshacha. Because this might not work. What's the svara? The svara is each she'uvin that goes into this borzeria becomes kosher mikvah water. And once it all becomes kosher mikvah water, then you're filling up with kosher mikvah water. Like, it's totally legit. Mishnayos all over mikvahs. You could take a mikvah full of kosher mikvah water and have it flow into another mikvah and make two mikvahs out of it. That's perfectly legit. What's the only suffix?
Well, why doesn't it become she'uvin again when it goes through the pipe?
Because that pipe is... There's two reasons it doesn't become she'uvin in the pipe. Number one, the pipe doesn't actually hold anything because it's a pipe with two ends. A pipe. You ever try to carry water in a pipe with two ends without an elbow?
I tried
one, though. Yeah. I mean, Sisyphus is working on it. So number one, it doesn't hold anything. I mean, there's no psul of shiva if you don't have something that holds anything. And number two, that's the main reason. Also, it's not shiva because it might be made to be attached to the ground and attached to the ground, although, as we saw, we try not to rely on that, right? Remember, that was all the Mahadrin of the Shachnataz, backed by the Nesarim, right? Okay, but the main reason is because it doesn't hold anything, and is because it doesn't hold anything. Okay, now the what's the suffix here? The suffix here is this. is it really true that mayim she'uvim that gets mixed into a mikvah magically turns into mikvah water or not? The Gemara tells us in no uncertain terms, Mishnayis Mikvos, if you take orange juice and you put it into the mikvah, put some orange juice into the mikvah and some flows out, it's okay. Put some more orange juice in the mikvah and some flows out, it's okay. Put some more orange juice in the mikvah and some flows out, it's okay. Until you put in rove orange juice. Once you put in rove orange juice, now it's rove orange juice, it's pasul. That's very clear. If you put in non-water to the mikvah, this is called nosan sa'ah v'notal sa'ah. You add a sa'ah, and a sa'ah flows out. You add a sa'ah flows out. You add a sa'ah flows out. If you do that with non-water, it only works as long as it's the miyot. Once it's the rove, the whole thing becomes pasul. What about mayim she'uvim? This is the machlokas. What is the sugya that's involved here? The sugya is called nasan sa'ah v'natal sa'ah. You add a sa'ah of foreign water, of improper water, and take out sa'ah combination. Nasan sa'ah v'natal sa'ah. B'mayim she'uvim. That's the sugya. And you put in a lot. You put in more mayim she'uvim than you started with kosher water. Obviously, you add more than 40 sa'ah. Over the lifetime of the mikvah, you're adding a million sa'ah. Right? So at a certain point, do you say that it all becomes kosher? Or do you say, no, at a certain point, the mayim she'uvim becomes the rove and overwhelms the original mikvah and it all becomes pasul? Do you say that? Nope. It... all the she'uvim become mikvah water, become kosher mikvah water, and it's okay. You start with 40 sa'ah, every drop of she'uvim that went in becomes mikvah water. And in the end, think about it. After 2 years, how much of this 40 sa'ah of original rainwater is going to be left? A drop. No, there has to be some, right? A drop, right? Because think about it. You add 200 sa'ah. Now, what's left is going to be like a sixth. You had another 200 sa'ah every time you fill the mikvah. Now, what's left is a 36th. Fill the mikvah a third time, it's left with a 216th. Fill the mikvah 10 times, and I'm not that good at math, but you're left with like one billionth of what you started with. You're left with one drop. There's no, at a certain point, there is no original mikvah water left. So you can say, no, it all magically turned into mikvah water. So it's all mikvah water. Right? What is this reminiscent of? Those who learned Isser Heter? Kama Batel, right? Or, as a matter of fact, in the Rishonim, there's two svaras why this might work. It might work because of Kama Batel, because in general, whenever it's on these but if the Bithel Barov, no, whatever's Batel Barov becomes like the Rov. Or it might work even without Kama Batel, because there's a special rule called Zuriya. Whatever touches water in the ground becomes like it.
To the Kama Kama Batel, I was wondering about that. Does Kama Kama Batel mean that if, like, let's say you had a massive faucet, just to illustrate, that if you had like 80...
No, Kama Kama Batel would only work if you did it in spurts. That's right. Pasta.
Right.
Okay. But the Iker, we rely on the idea that it just like...
And also, you never put in 40 sub.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay. So, or do you say no? Once... the amount of original megashamim left goes under 20 sa'ah, it's all pasul. Those are the two possibilities, right? This is taka amachlokas rishonim. Look in number 8, says the Machaber, quoting the Rosh, avol v'mayim she'uvim she'nofal amem sak she'irim, mayim she'uvim that falls into 40 sa'ah of kosher water, makar 8, v'natam yisofen sa'ah achas, and then you take out a sa'ah. He was talking about taking out with a bucket. Here, you just take it out by letting it overflow. V'nofal token sa'mayim she'irim, she'irim, you add some mayim she'uvim, take out some of the mixture. Add mayim she'uvim, take out some of the mixture. It's kosher. Afilo asakeinat olam. Even if you did it forever, even if you did it a million times and you've diluted it so much, there's not one drop left of the original mikvah water. Doesn't matter, it's kosher. Why? Because every drop that falls becomes kosher mikvah water. This is the opinion of the Rush and the Mechaber. Okay, how do you know it's the Rush? It doesn't say it's the Rush here. But in the Baragola here it says Kedas HaRosh Veha, etc., etc. Right, that's the Shita of the Rosh. The Gra also says HaRosh. But not everyone agrees. Says the Shach, number 9, right here on the side, of Ramayim Shuv, etc. Vedas HaRambam, Divamayim Shuv, Madrubo Davka Kosher. Nope. The Rambam holds not true. That only works if you add up to 20 Sah. Yeah, you can add up to 20 Sah Mayim Shuv in the Bethel Barov. Actually up to 40 Sah. You know, you can add a minority of Mayim Shuv in the Bethel Barov, but once it becomes mostly Mayim Shuvim, then you're in trouble. The Ravid also holds that way. Okay, it's not like 2-1. There's plenty of Rishonim on the Russia side, but there are serious Rishonim, two serious Rishonim, mostly the Ravid and the Ravid on the other side. Even though the Achronim, he means the later Rishonim, agreed to be Machshir, Mikol Makom. This is the Rush and Rove Rishonim. But the Rambam and Ravid are against them. Ein roi l'hachnis rosh bein ha-machlokes ad kan. You shouldn't stick your head into this machlokes. Basically, the Shach is machmir. The Shach doesn't say, I'm sure the Rambam and Ravid is right. But he says, you can't get into this machlokes, you have to be machmir. Therefore, says the Shach, that it's proper to be machmir about this, which kills the whole concept of a borzria. That kills a borzria. Or at least casts question on a borzria, because who wants to stick their head into this machlokes in the Rambam and Ravid versus the Rush and other Rishonim? And clearly in this case, you are, after a few times of filling the mikvah, maybe even once, you're going to have very little rainwater left, and maybe that's possible. This is a lundish machlokes. Really, the machlokes is, there such thing as Riyah or not? If you believe there's such thing as Riyah, then every drop of tap water that came in was Nizra, meaning it became part of something larger than itself, and turned into mikvah water. If you believe there is not, then, no, that's good as long as there's still enough mikvah water left. Once there's not enough mikvah water left, then the whole thing doesn't work anymore. Okay, this is a fundamental machlokes. What is the other option? The other option is a Bor Hashaka. How does a Bor Hashaka work? A Bor Hashaka works like this. Now, can you be Makel against the Rambam Ravid here? So it's tricky to be Makel against the Rambam Ravid here. However, some people say if you also have Hamshacha, then maybe the Shach was only Machmir when there wasn't also Hamshacha. With Hamshacha, maybe there's room to be Makel like Rov Rishonim and like the Mechaber against the Shach. But, you know, it's not the most glot thing in the world, even though that's what Chazon Ish does. So what's the other option? The other option is Bor Hashaka. This is a Bor Hashaka. And here is your Bor Tviva. How does it start? It starts full of She'uvim, and starts with 40 sah. We put more than 40 sah. That's a more than sign. More than 40 sah, right? I know you guys know more than sign, but my handwriting is not so good. Signs will look like probably 8 other possible letters and numbers. Okay, more than 40 sah of Megashamim. Now again, how do we fill this of Shuvim with Hamshacha just to get an extra tzad l'hakel, to bring it down to a shadow d'rabban? And then what do we do? Then what do we do is Hashaka. What does Hashaka mean? Hashaka is like which word? Nishika. What happens? What does kissing mean? Kissing means you barely touch. Right? You touch. A kissing is like a beer touch. And when Chazal used it figuratively. That is... So kissing means it touches a little. Hashaka. Any water that touches kosher mikvah water a little is kosher. So what do we do here? We have a pipe. We have a pipe, and this pipe is closed all day and is opened for tevila. It's only opened for the tevila times, that pipe. It's closed all day. All day, there's the bar tevila water and the bar hashaka water, but it is opened for tevila time. Nothing flows, right? There's no flow. There's no flow. There's just like a lot of water touching a lot of water. Through the din of hashaka, any water that touches mikvah water is also kosher. And therefore you can tovel in it. And that is limahadrin.
Is there really no flow? You're
a chazanishnik. Don't give me the chazanish yet. Okay, objects the chazanish. Fine, objects the chazanish. So objects the chazanish. What do you mean there's no flow? Like, it sounds perfect. This is for sure kosher. This is for sure not kosher. Once they touch, it's mefurish in the Gemara, the Eir of mikvos. You can touch a puzzle mikvah to a kosher mikvah and make them kosher. How much do they have to touch? How big does the hole have to be? That's a tremendous sugya in the Rishonim and Achronim. Is a kol shehu enough? Do you need a klipas hashom if that is or not the same as a kol shehu? Most people think it's the same as a kol shehu. Garlic peel size? Or no, maybe you need a little more than that. Maybe you even need kishfoferes hanod, like the kind of big straws they put into big containers in those days, where you could put two fingers and go like this. And you know what? Maybe in the old days they had big fingers. Says the biggest machmirim, make it a 3-inch pipe. A 3-inch pipe is yotzei every possible day. The lumbus is geschmack how big that pipe has to be. But if it's 3-inch pipe, it's more than yotzei any possible day that anyone can come up with, even using the craziest chidushim and ideas. The Lubavitchers nonetheless have a minhag to make a 4-inch pipe. Seder. It's okay. The standard pipes, they sell at 4 inches, so it works out. But a 3-inch pipe is yotzei for everyone. As a matter of fact, the Lubavitchers have no clear masorah why they have a minhag to have a 4-inch pipe. It's just a masorah from Tzemach Tzedek, one of the early Lubavitcher rabbis. Okay, but it's glatt. There's no problem. However, said the Chazon Ish, I have a problem. Said the Chazon Ish, you know what? This is really the same as that. Eventually. Yes. After a day, you know what? What do you mean there's no flow? A little water will travel through that hole. After all, no one touches this bor hashaka. Gets filled with rainwater and sealed for 100 years. A guy goes into this bor tefila. When he goes in, he displaces the water. What does he do when he displaces the water? He obviously pushes it a little through that pipe. Right? Which means that it goes a little into here. Then he goes out of the mikvah. Now, gravity makes the water go down, so some of it goes back in there. How much? Only a little, because it's only a 3-inch pipe. I don't know how big the Chazon Ish's pipe, maybe it was a 2-inch pipe, I don't know. You know, only a little. But he probably had a 2-inch pipe. But a little water is going to be exchanged the first time. You know what? 0.5% of water is going to be exchanged the first time. Then another guy totals another 0.5%. Another guy totals another 0.5%. Now, Chesky knows some math here. He said, no, you don't add like 100 0.5% to get to 50%. You really have to do, if n people tovel, how much water got exchanged, 1 minus 0.995 to the nth power. And you work it out. You know what? You don't need any math. After 10,000 people tovel, eventually enough water is going to be exchanged that the original mikvah water will have gone here and have gotten down the drain and replaced at some point. And the whole point is that in this you can empty it and replenish it, right? Full of she'uvim and gets refilled with she'uvim, right? It gets refilled with she'uvim, right? Eventually, enough of the original mikvah water will have gone this way through the pipe when someone got out of the mikvah. Enough tap water will have gone this way through the pipe when someone got into the mikvah, and so in the end, you're left with less than 20 saw of original rainwater, and therefore says the Chazan Ish, in Chazan Ish mitvos, there is no Bor HaShaka. He says, you know what, the Bor HaShaka is the same as the Bor Zriah, they're redundant. It's the same thing, it turned into a Bor Zriah. Okay. However, there are those who assume, now, it's something that gets a little tricky here to figure out, like, you know, is this machlokas in metzias, in science, in halacha, in how much halacha recognizes science? It's unclear. The minhag ha'olam is not like the Chazon Ish. The minhag ha'olam is to assume that the Bor HaShaka stays the way it is. And the truth is, if you really ask an engineer, it's very complicated. Because, you know, maybe water only goes back and forth so much on the top of this. How do you know it does on the bottom? Right? It's fluid dynamics is very difficult in these things. Now, so much you really do an experiment, but even experiments are hard to do in these things. It would be hard to do the experiment in these things. Anyway, I don't know. The Chazon Ish is convinced that you have to rely on the Rush here. All the other Rishonim, or the other posts are not convinced of this. So what are the issues? Let's just say the issues. What are the issues?
Couldn't you solve that as well just by refilling Bor HaShaka more regularly?
Yes, you could, although, A, you'd have to draw the line somewhere. Whenever you draw the line somewhere, you're still going to be open to question, right? Especially in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
You have to wait 6 months, right? So it's not so posh. The Chazon Ish live in Eretz Yisrael, right? You certainly can't refill it between Pesach and Sukkot. And you know what? I don't want to say Hakel Sutton. Amir Tz Hashem, Hashem should be mashpia us with all good things ben Hashemayim. But there are many years when, even before Pesach and after Sukkot, you can't always count 100% on knowing how much rain there will be. So it's not a good solution here to try to refill it regularly, because it's going to take you 10 months between refillings.
You could also make multiple Bor HaShakas.
Okay, so let's see the issues. One issue is, sorry, the Chazon Ish's problem is that the Bor HaShaka also gets diluted. So how can you solve it? You can make two Bor HaShakas, a Bor HaShaka and a Bor HaShaka, right? Have the Bor HaShaka attached to another Bor HaShaka. Eventually that will also get diluted. You could refill it regularly, but eventually at the cheshbon, how many people total and how regularly you refill it. There is, however, so there are people who do double Bor HaShakas, but they're generally chabadniks. The chabadniks have a minhag, besides having a 4-inch hole. Did you think of the engineering how to solve this problem with Chazon Ish?
I mean,
Chazon Ish didn't think of a solution.
No, it's not about engineering as much as if you could recycle the water. I mean, if you don't have to flush out the water every time, then the water originally remains. The same 80 stuff. If you clean the water, then...
You mean if you never replace the water?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not so practical.
It's not so practical to...
No, eventually you have to replace the water.
I have no idea.
That's the assumption. Okay. Now, the Chabadniks have a solution. What's the Chabadnik solution?
Put the Bor HaShaka underneath.
All right, okay. The Chabadniks have a solution. Now, again, you have to ask an engineer about this.
Doesn't really
work. I don't know. I'm not an engineer. The Chabadniks have a solution. Right? The Chabad solution is have a Bor HaShaka underneath. HaShaka, pretend this is straight. Tevila. Put the Bor HaShaka on the bottom. What's the advantage of putting it on the bottom? A, when you displace the water, you can't push it down. There's no place to go down. Right? A guy gets into the mikvah. He pushes all the water, but he can't push it down because there's nowhere to go. He pushes it up and sideways. Not necessarily, but somewhat. B, they have two svaras why it's better to put on the bottom. Number one, for sure it works partially. Here, when I go into the bore, I push the water sideways and it can flow sideways. Here, when I go into the bore, I push the water, it's hard to push the water down. There's no place for it to go. I can make a current, but that's going to be less likely. B, the top bore is hot because you have a heater. The bottom bore is cold. Naturally, hot water doesn't want to go down, and cold water doesn't want to come up. So it doesn't mix that well. Okay, both of these svaras are valid svaras in engineering. Then you just have the cheshbon. Okay, but do the math. How valid are they? And most people assume, you know what? They're very valid svaras. But eventually, it's also going to mix. You put a hole between two things. You open that hole for 2 hours every night. Eventually, they're going to mix. okay, people have tried to do experiments with this, like you put dye in the bottom mikvah and have a lot of people total and see what happens, etc. You know, and then there are more Mishul Klal hunts. Maybe do a double Bor HaShaka on the bottom. You know, etc. And then there are all kinds of other svaras, do like a special Bor HaShaka on the bottom with only a small hole between it. Because if there are two Bor HaShaka, they're both filled with rainwater, then you don't need a big hole in between, only a small hole, so maybe that'll help. And people have done the experiments of dye in the water. And Lamaisa, okay, everyone has their own shita. Keep in mind, by the way, what's easier to build? A Bor Zeriah or a Bor HaShaka? The Bor HaShaka, you just, and especially this Bor HaShaka, right? Just dig down on the ground, put a partial floor, right? Since it's the Chabadnitz have to build mikvos on a shoestring budget in a month in Timbuktu, so it actually works out well, but that's not why. Meaning, this is the Shita of Chabad from before they started doing Kirov and going all over the world. This is the Masorah. That some of the reasons they understand, some of the reasons, you know, are not clear. It's a Masorah from, I think, the Tzemach Tzedek. If I'm off by one, you will have to forgive me. So that's the Chabad Bor HaShaka. It works much better than a regular Bor HaShaka. In the end, keep in mind, they have a 4-inch pipe, a tefach hole. In the end, through that 4-inch hole, is it eventually going to mix? We all suspect it's eventually going to mix. But that's their solution. The other issue I just want to bring up, Elchanan, you could ask the question first.
I thought you mentioned something about the solution having to do with you could make a smaller pipe by the follow jacket.
Oh, no, okay. So there are some people who make double Bor HaShaka, and between the two Bor HaShakas, they make a smaller hole. Uh-huh. And they say maybe that'll work better, but it's complicated and it's iffy, and forget I said that. But no, you definitely can't have a smaller hole between these two. Because I've already shown him a light hole that, but the way we posken, you need a big hole. It really has to be 2 inches. Everyone's machmir 3 inches. Chabadniks are machmir 4 inches.
Why does the pipe need to be open when people are going to the
mikvah? Does the pipe need to be open when people are going to the mikvah? Right now, if it only needed to be open once, then it would keep it from mixing, right? That's a great question. What if you have a Pasul mikvah, and it touches the kosher mikvah once. Does it become kosher forever or not? Chaz, he's going to say, isn't that the same as this machlok? It's a machlok zachronim, whether it's the same or not. I knew you were thinking it, right? Obviously, okay. Anyway, let's don't think it yet, okay? This is a famous machlokas again, and Chaz, he will claim it's not coincidence, between the Machaber and the Shach and Mokers 10 and 11. Habol arev mikvah pasul or chaser im mikvah kosher. You want to mix. It doesn't mean mix mamish, just like combine halachically. A pasul mikvah or a mikvah less than 40 sa with a kosher mikvah. Lachshiro, to kasher the pasul one. Osha shneim chaser bral arim lachshiro, or they're both chaser. They're both less than 40 sa. You want to mix them, so it'll be 40 sa. So actually, next your name, Rach Mishal Sheres Hanod. That's what we paskin. That's what I said. The hole between them has to be as wide as a Shfalferes Hanod, which means the straw they would put into the leather pouches, which is a very big straw. It wasn't a drinking straw. And the water has to flow as big. Meaning, you can't make a nekev, kishvofer sanod, and have the water only be in it a little. That has to be full of water. And how big is that? Everyone agrees it's 2 fingers. Once the pasul touched the kasher, even for 1 moment, Nishali Olamech Shirut stays kosher forever. Afilu Nista Manekev Acharkach, even if you plug the hole afterwards. Great idea. Let it touch the Bor HaShaka once, plug the hole. Minimal mixing in one rega. And you know what? Let's say you have to empty and refill the mikvah. So you let it touch for 1 second. You can 1,000 times let it touch for 1 second. You won't have significant mixing, right? Great idea. However, says the Shach, Olamech Shirut, that is the Mechaber, and the Mechaber is quoting the Shita of the Rush. However, says the Shafer, "Bin Yeruchim Kosher Shen Stav Koma Farchim Nisra Shal Bechshero Okevin Shen Istam Anekev Chozel Upsul Kvat Kila." No, the Mefarshim was suffered whether if you close the hole, it stays kosher or it goes back to being pasul. When Vio Beis Yosef in Darki Moshe, Beis Yosef in Darki Moshe, quote, the Rabbi Yerucham, the Tov Lahachmer Lechachila, and it is proper Lechachila to be Machmer on this. So, here, which means that you can't just use this solution. So, the other issue, the issue. Second issue with a Bor HaShaka is, let me put it a different way. What if one night they forget to take out the plug in the mikvah? They plug it, so it doesn't, it's more than necessary. What if they forget to take out the plug? And someone tovels? So, according to the Shach, it's kosher. As a matter of fact, according to the Mishovar, it's kosher. You can leave it, the plug in forever. But, tovel hachbar l'chachila, we are machbar l'chachila. We take out the plug. If you forget to take out the plug, then your tefillah is not kosher, l'mahadrin. Right? So, what if, what's the second issue? What if it is, what if the plug is in? If the plug is in, then according to the Rosh and the Mechaber, it is kosher. If it combined once, it's kosher forever. But according to Rabbi Yerucham and the Shachas Machmer on this, it is possible. Now here's an interesting question. So if you forget to take out the plug, you have a chash according to the Shach and Rabbi Yerucham. Now here's a fascinating question I'm not going to answer now. Is this Machlokas Rishonim the same as this machlokas Rishonim? It sort of looks like it. They're arguing if possible water touched kosher water once, does it stay kosher forever or not? And the Mechaber's on the same side, the Rosh is on the same side, the Shach's on the same side.
Can you explain again how...
What's the machlokas here? If this water once went into here, does it stay kosher forever? Does it, the machlokas is this. Does she'uvim that touched mikvah water turn into mikvah water or not forever? Mm-hmm. So if yes, that's the sheet of the Shach, Mechaber, and Rosh in both places. If no, that's the sheet of the Shach in both places. Right, Chesky? It's not so poshut, because you could say, you're Machmir here and Mekel here, because over here, it at least touched a full 40 saw once. Here, it might never have touched a full 40 saw, or reverse. You could be Mekel or Machmir there. Here, it might have mixed in with Batel. Here, it didn't mix in with Batel. Okay, Lemaisa, that's a big Machlokas, and for that reason, we don't leave a plug-in. To be able to say the shach, if you did leave the plug-in by accident, you would have a shash, a pagam in your tefillah.
How long are we talking? Let's say it's a baila, already dried off.
Meaning, what would you lemaisa? Let's say you toveled with the plug-in. Great question. You toveled accidentally with the plug-in. What would you do lemaisa?
You know?
Well, if you're in the mikvah, let's say the mikvah lady, you went home and the mikvah lady then realized she forgot to take out the plug. But in the Chabad mikvahs, they never have a plug. They just rely on the fact that cold water doesn't go up and hot water doesn't go down. But that makes another suffix of them.
Do they keep the heater on all the time? On the upper?
I think they do. I don't know. That would be a big waste of money. I have no idea. It's a great question. I'm not sure. I don't want to say if I am not 100% sure I remember properly. Okay. I think we say that, well, might depend on how the mikvah is built. So if the mikvah also has a bor zriya, then for sure it's okay. What if the mikvah only had a bor hashaka? The Cheskia, I'm going to need your help with the board, I'm sorry. Then, Pashas of the Shach is that b'di'evet, it would be okay. Okay, now, how do they build mikvos nowadays? There are three main designs of mikvos nowadays, and now we've finished how to design a mikvah. Yes?
Sorry, I've always been confused about, didn't we say there's a psul of adding three logs of
lime trees to mikvah? Oh, I apologize. The psul of adding three logum only applies if it's there aren't already 40 saw in the mikvah. Once there's already 40 saw in the mikvah, you're allowed to add more.
And then you can just keep adding again.
Yes. Yes. That's like classic Gemara. Let's say you had one of those caves with 40 saw of rainwater, you could fill it up with shuvim. That's for sure. Okay, now, how do they build a mikvah? There are three main designs of mikvahs. The minhag olam, the mainstream minhag, mikvaos. Nowadays, there are three main minhagim. The minhag ha'olam is to be mahadir, to have a bor zriya, and a bor hashaka. That way, you get as many tzvadim as you can. Since you get as many studim as you can. You have a borzria and a borhashaka. Meaning, you fill up the mikvah through a borzria, and then open up a plug and let it touch the borhashaka. Okay, that's the main sheet. And therefore, if you forgot to take out the plug for the borhashaka, you can rely on the borzria and it's okay. That's the mainstream way to make a mikvah. The minig of the Chazon Ish is to have only a borzeria. Why? Because he says a bor hashaka is lomal of lomorid. A bor hashaka doesn't help because it also gets diluted, and therefore you have to rely on the same sheet as a borzeria. And he says you might as well just only have a borzeria. And the minig Chabad is to only have a bor hashaka and to do it davka underneath. And to do davka in the bottom. Most mikvos have the borhashaka next to it. Is to do it only on the bottom. So the Minhag Chabad is like this. The Minhag Chazon Ish is like this. And the Minhag Olam is and if you want to know how tap water flows and where you put rainwater, the Minhag Olam is that this is full of rainwater. This starts out full of rainwater, and then the tap water flows into here and then into there. The meaning of the Chazon Ish is that this starts out with some rainwater and the tap water flows into here and then into there. And the minhag of the Chabadniks is that this is full of rainwater and then the tap water just goes into there. And it's standard to also do Hamshacha to get another tzad l'hakel. And halacha l'maisa, you can tovel in any of these mikvaos. Everyone has their own sheet of what's the best thing to do, and there are many reasons the Chazon Ish didn't like a bor hashaka. Like, what does it hurt a bor hashaka for the Chazon Ish? He thinks it doesn't help, but he actually thought that he had a few problems. One of the problems was that the bor hashaka, he was very, very concerned in his days. In his days, a lot of women, in the old days in America, ask anyone who lived in America, like before the war, and all the women stopped going to the mikvahs because they were dirty. So the Chazon Ish was very machbid. Number one, he was very machbid that every mikvah was chayav or chlorine in the mikvah. Even though there were some people who were against the chiddush of putting chlorine in the mikvah, we even tried to find, maybe found some chash, far out chash. Every mikvah has to put chlorine because you don't want to turn women off to mikvah. He's very concerned about this. He was also concerned about the bor hashaka. Bor hashaka, if it never gets refilled, stagnant water, it can just breed all kinds of germs and things like that. He was very against it. Okay. And he didn't see the point. That's so the Chazanishnikim do the Borzria, the Chabadnikim do the Borashaka, and most people do both of them. And that's how we avoid the problem of She'uvim. We generally also have a Hamshacha when the water goes in, just to be on the, you know, say, just to say, well, maybe that makes it start out as a Safik Rabbanan, so even if it's only a Safik or a Machlokas, you still have what to rely on. And that's how mikvahs work nowadays.
We do the hamshacha via like dirt. We put pour dirt down and then pour it.
No, my impression is I think we do hamshacha on concrete. Because otherwise the dirt goes into the mikvah, and people don't want that. We do hamshacha on concrete. Oh, the Ramah says it's not proper l'chachila. Okay, but we're not relying on the hamshacha alone. It's just throwing it in to make it a little more makel. So that's even if we don't do the most mahudar hamshacha, that's good enough.
What about places where it doesn't rain?
What about places where it doesn't rain? So, that is a big problem. What do you do in places where it doesn't rain? The best thing to do in places it doesn't rain is to travel to someplace where it does rain to go to the mikvah. In a big, big, big Shas HaDchak, there are shitas that say that there's no psul of Mayim She'uvim for ice. Because you can't be shoev ice. You can't hold ice in a kli. I mean, you can hold ice in a kli. But since it would be held without the kli, because it's solid, it doesn't count as she'uvim. So b'shas adchak, we rely on that, only b'shas adchak, not b'chila, b'shas adchak, we rely on the shita, there's no she'uvim by ice. preferably you try to find ice that was never shot out in the water form.
Yeah.
Like we just take from an icy lake or something. Or we collect rainwater someplace else and just put in a machine that freezes it. And you put ice in a truck and you bring in, you let it melt. And that's what we do, b'shas v'chak, but that is definitely not b'chachiyo. That's only b'shas v'chak if you have no other way to make a mikvah. You bring ice. Yes?
Sorry, you said something about like uncovering the floorboards when you went to a mikvah? What?
No, like, obviously there's access to these boros.
And so, I mean, when you're heading downstairs, you're heading into one bor.
You're heading into the bor tevila. Attached to it, that you can't see, if you ever go to a mikvah, you'll notice a pipe in the wall.
Yeah.
That's attached to a bor hashaka or a bor zriya.
Okay. Usually those pipes are just not heading to places I have access to. So
exactly. Unless you go beneath the floorboards. Precisely.
So the other thing is, like, you're describing going down, which I'm very confused by.
No. What? No. I don't mean down. I just mean you look under the floor. Under the floor, because the mikvah is usually lower. Under the floor at a higher level.
Okay.
Right? It's the same level. And these pipes, by the way, when you see these pipes, the pipes should be underwater.
Yeah.
Well, it depends which pipe. But a bor hashaka pipe should be underwater, otherwise it doesn't do any hashaka. A bor zriya pipe can be above the water. So generally, if you go to a mikvah, you see a pipe above the water, that's a pipe from the bor zriya. It doesn't have to be attached anymore, right? It just has to flow there when they want to fill the mikvah. If you see a pipe underwater, that's generally a pipe to a bor hashaka. Because the water has to touch. So you can tell what bor the pipe is touching, if it's above water or below water. A lot of mikvahos actually have like color-coded tiles. They're like blue tiles and white tiles. And like the bor hashaka pipe is in the blue. And that way, like the mikvah lady will notice. Like she might not notice if the water goes below the bor hashaka pipe. But she'll notice if it goes below the blue tiles. And she'll notice that you have to add water. So okay, those are just tricks.
Sorry. Mikvahos, isn't it mikvahos with leaks are puzzle?
Ah, okay. So I want to just point out one or two things. Look for a second at the rest of this. There are two serious chashuvos that come up in building mikvahos. Not with shuvim. Another very serious thing, which I mentioned once, is they give zochalin. Says the Medrash number 12. And we assume this is the right. So ima mayim matar bezochalin, just like a spring is matar, even if it's running water, af mikvah matar bezochalin. Maybe a mikvah should be matar if it's running water. Tamalomer ach mayan, not from mayan, but from ach. Mayim matar bezochalin ba mikvah be ashborin. Ashborin means still water. Zochalin means running water. A mayan is matar even if it's flowing. A mikvah made of rainwater is only matar if it's still. The mikvah cannot be flowing. A mikvah is only natahir if it is still. And that's a big yesod. Now, how still does it have to be? Is the $64,000 question. How still does it have to be? So, let me just point out two big machlokos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, by the way. Oh, by the way, where would you imagine that you then couldn't tovelin because it's flowing? Nothing to do with mikvahs? A what?
What about our shows?
What about what?
Aren't there a bunch of movement in here?
No, the bor zriya, it flows when you fill it up. And then it stops flowing when you're done.
But when you
turn off the tap, it stops flowing.
And if it's connected to like a bor hashaka.
It doesn't flow. I know there's like an invisible current, but you don't see water flowing.
And so that would be okay. I mean, I don't usually see other.
It's not like a brook. Right?
But there's some movement, though.
Internal circulation doesn't count as movement.
Even though it's two, like, separate.
Right. A movement means, like, it's going in and out. So, the question of Zochlin is rivers. Can you total in a river? Good question, though. Isn't it moving?
Depends
where the river water comes from. Does it come from a spring, or does it come from rainwater? Now, every river really comes from spring water and rainwater. So it depends where rov of it comes from. It's called ravu anokvin al zochlin ravu. If rov of the mikvah comes from mayan or if rov of the mikvah comes from rainwater. How do we know where rov of any river comes from? The answer is machlokes amorim. What? Yes. So just look for a moment at 13. May mayim matar naf bezochlin. I'm going to finish in 2 minutes. Make a shomei matar nelo ashor. Right, spring water is matar when it's moving. Rain water is only matar if it's still. I'm going to skip the parentheses. What if spring water mixed with rainwater that flowed? Then it counts as mayan, the spring is okay. If there is more rainwater than spring water, there were more water dripping down than water flowing from the mikveh, from the spring, or more rainwater than water from the original source of the river, then it's no longer tar running, only if it's still. If you're in a river and the river is 51% more rainwater and only 49% or less spring water, you have to make a mechitza, put mats to stop the flow of the river, like make yourself a little still place in the river and tovel there in still water. Add the Ramah, the Chaynach on the Horus of Hachmir. See, I've been parentheses all Yech Matir and Litbo and Aris Kalashana. Some are matter to tovel and waters all year long. At the Shasak Shum, Rafshar Shlugin, even when it's raining or the snow is melting, for Rabba Nofen al Zoklin, and even if it looks like there's more rainwater than original water, Shun the Iker Gidol Nar Makum Makoro, because the Iker of the water from the river is from its source in a spring. Okay, this is the big Machlokas. Do you say a river is an ichor from a spring, or do you say no, it might be mostly from rainwater? Okay, continuing. He says, in most places, if they can't find a mikvah, they're makel to tovel in rivers, and you shouldn't object, they want to be so mechad. It's a big machlokas, amura, machlokas rishonim. Can you assume a stam river is the ichor from a spring, or you have to be choshesh that it's mostly from rainwater? He says, a river that stops flowing when it stops raining, you should for sure be machmir. But a regular river is a machlokas. Halach l'maisa, nowadays we assume that you should only be mekel and tovel in a river in desperate circumstances. If you don't have any means of transportation to get to a mikvah or a lake. But if you can drive to a mikvah or a lake, you should drive to a mikvah or a lake. So what do people do in China? The Chabad Shluchim from China, they flew to Hong Kong, even though it was a big flight, instead of toveling in the rivers in China. Besides the fact that rivers in China have toxic chemicals. But that's not why. So what if you live someplace where there's no mikvah and no lake? Then you shouldn't tovel in the river. You should drive 4 hours to a mikvah once a month. However, if there's mamish no other choice, then the Rama says the minhag is to tovel in rivers. But nowadays, with modern transportation, we generally don't tovel in rivers.
In the ocean?
So oceans, lakes are okay. Those are fairly still usually. What about oceans? it's a big machlokes about oceans. The generally accepted talk is that oceans are okay.
Why?
Because they're not really, they have waves, but they're not really flowing like rivers. Like, the waves aren't really going anywhere. Right? The waves aren't really going anywhere, so we assume oceans are okay.
What about rivers that, like, everybody knows are from a mile and not from Gishalik?
If everyone knows, then everyone knows. This is only Stam rivers. Stam rivers is a machlokas, and you should not be making unless it's desperate circumstances.
If a lake has an outflow, is that now considered?
Aha, good question. So, there's two machlokas I want to point out here. 14. Mikvah shall make a shaman. Forget about a lake has an outflow. Anyone ever been to a mikvah? How do they keep the mikvah clean? Only once a month they empty it and refill it, or there's another way to keep it clean? Anyone ever been to a swimming pool? How do they keep the pool clean? It has filters. What do the filters do? They draw water in and push it out. Sounds a little like Zochlin to me, right? Every mikvah has filters. A lot of poskim said you shouldn't put filters in mikvahs. But, lo halich, every mikveh has a filter. I don't know, maybe some men's mikvehs don't, because men don't care about hygiene. But, not that I mean to be sexist. but you're allowed to be sexist against men. All mikvehs have filters. Are filters of chash of zochlin? And how about a lake? A lot of lakes have out in. Is that a chash of zochlin? So this gets into two machlokos. Number one, says 14, mikvah shall make a shum shenifritz echad miksolav amayin yosin derech hasedek. There's a mikvah of rainwater that one of the walls broke and the water's going out the crack. Im yishor bo mem sa'ach she'itzu k'tzalsin shabasedek kosher. Even if it's flowing, if there's still 40 sal left underneath the crack, you're okay. Meaning, it's only a problem if the bottom 40 saw is moving, like in a river. But let's say you have a mikvah, the bottom 40 saw is like the bottom 6 inches. That's not going anyplace. In a lake, the outtake is not at the bottom of the lake. There's 40 saw left in the bottom in the middle of the lake where the ground is low. The outtake of the lake is high. And the filter. All mikvahs have filters above the 40 saw line. Right? So if the filter is above the 40 saw line, it's no chash. Some are machmir that any zechila is a problem, even if it's higher than 40 saw. And you should be machmir l'chachila. So number one, what are the two big machlokas in zechila? The two big zechila controversies are A, Zechila Lemala Mi Arbaim Sah. Zechila Lemala Mi Arbaim Sah. In every mikvah, they put the filter above 40 Sah so that it won't be a chash of Zechila according to the Mechaber. But it will be according to the Rama. Of course, how can you really solve this problem in the mikvah? When you're ready to tovel, you turn off the filter. Every mikvah, they turn off the filter for toveling. But what if they accidentally leave it on? They put it at least above 40 saw, so you'd be yotzei mechaber. Of course, there's another thing. When you go to the mikvah, do you see zechila if the filter's on? When you go to a swimming pool with a filter, do you see any zechila?
No.
When you go to a lake that has an intake and an outtake, do you see zechila? Nah, you don't see any zechila there, says the mechaber in 14 Nun Aleph. There's a hole in the mikvah and the water is dripping out a little by little. Or absorbed in the ground little by little. Zechila shows up. If it's not noticeable, that's not zechila. If you can't see it, after all, everything has some zechila. Nowadays, we build our mikvahs, the mahadrin, with no zechila. They use super space shuttle quality concrete. And they pour all the walls and the floors at once so there's no seams in the concrete, which is hard to do. They have special techniques. So there's no zechila at all. But in the days of the Achronim, they didn't know how to make concrete without zechila. Everything has some zechila. Stones also absorb water, right? Stalactite cave, right? So, nah, if you don't notice, that's not a zechila. Says the Gra, though, Devar Mechaber Timuim. This gra is difficult. It's not clear what he's saying. Is he saying only if the zechila she'in any keres below mem saw it's a problem? Some are choshish for zechila she'in any keres in all cases. So these are both controversial. If you have a zechila she'in any keres, it's controversial. If you have a zechila, but there's 40 saw still below the standing still below the zechila, it's controversial. Halacha lemaisa, even if they forgot and left the filter on, you'd still be yotzei. Because you could be mitzari for the fact that if the zechila is above 40 saw and it's not nikaris. Halacha lemaisa, if you tovel in a lake, a lot of lakes have a little river coming in someplace, a little thing going out, but there's 40 saw below that. Even if it was all went out, there would still be 40 saw left, and you don't see the lake moving, it's 0.001%. It moves every day. Halacha lemaisa, we're makel, if it's zechila she'ena nikaris above 40 saw. Even the Gra sounds like he's only machmir and zechila she'in any keres below 40 saw, although there are others who are more machmir. However, l'chachila, we turn off the filter. But even if you forgot to turn off the filter, it doesn't pasul because it's a zechila she'in any keres above 40 saw.
You mean l'chachila you shouldn't go on a lake?
What?
So l'chachila you shouldn't go on a lake?
Nah, it depends what your other options are. This later.
I mean, right, it's not the same thing as like, oh, you're violating.
No, this is to be mahadir. No, this is to be mahadir. To be mahadir, you avoid all shilas of zechila. But you can go in a lake. Every lake has a little zechila. Doesn't matter. It's ain't any keres above 40 saw.
Also, I think like at least the lake that Lake Como that
might have no zechila.
No, my marshakol. I think they have like the partition in the water. Yeah.
To avoid any zechila.
Well, also probably for privacy, but
right. Okay. Yeah. No, that's what Shmuel did. Shmuel's father did. He built partitions in a river to avoid zechila. Now let's just be very honest. You build partitions out of mats in a river. What does that mean, there's no zechila? You take a river and you build partitions of mats, there's going to be no zechila means. There's no noticeable zechila. That's the pashim shot.
So for the gra, if the non-noticeable zechila is below the 40 saw line, that would be a problem?
Or? Yes.
So, but like, if any, like, but, so, like, do we need the chumras of like modern day mikvahs with like unsealed with like the concrete or the, is like or that?
Those are just lehidr bialva. Because, you know, what did our ancestors do? It's a hidr.
That hidr alma like multiplies the cost by almost 10 times. Isn't that a little nuts?
That's. There's a tradition to be very mahadur in the first, meaning we're much more mahadur of building a mitzvah than deciding when to tovel and camp. Because building a mitzvah is for the klal, we have more hidurim than for the prat. Right? If you're building a mitzvah in your house, the minig is not to do every hidur in the world. If you're building it for the shiva, the minig is to do every hidur in the world. How far to take it? Okay, everyone has to know their own matzah. There are some briskers, and there are even some chassidim who like try to build a mikvah on a spring. And that way you avoid all the Zochlin shilas and a couple other shilas. It's better in a few ways. But it's not always so practical.
The one in Camp Stone is on a,
what?
The one in Camp Stone is on a spring.
Is on a spring. Oh, because they're very brisker there. Yes. The okay. One last thing I want to just point out is so you turn the filters off. If you left the filters on, it's not the end of the world. Because it's a Zechilash Imi Keres and it's above 40 Sa. Interestingly, where's anyone know, where's the plug in the mikvah to let the water out when you want to empty it and refill it? Where do you think the plug would be?
In the bottom.
The plug was traditionally in the bottom in the old days. That created some problems. A, if the plug came a little loose and no one noticed, it would be Zechila. Right? It might even turn in Keres at some point. And it would be Zechila below 40 Sa. That would be a problem. B, if you call the plug a, if you were choshish to plug into the Mekabel Tumah, then the mikvah might be held up by something that's Mekabel Tumah, which we'll see in a moment. And that's one of the Hidur of modern day mikvahs. Modern day mikvahs have no plug on the bottom. How do they empty it when they need to refill it with clean water?
Suction?
With a pump. They pump out the water. When you pump out the water, then they go with a towel and sponge up whatever water is left. Because when you pump out the water, there might be 3 loaves left. That's very small. It's like a small bottle. And if there are 3 loaves of she'uvim left, and then everything else comes in, it's a problem. Because then there were 3 loaves of she'uvim before you had a kosher mikvah. So that's what they do in modern mikvahs. Anyway, one last thing I just want to point out is, what does, if you have, let's say, the other chashash with filters is, okay, maybe we won't get into so much. There's a halakha that you're not allowed to have the mikvah held up or created by something like Kabbal Tumah, person or kli. Which is why if there's any stoppers or anything, even the old days when they had drains at the bottom, or some mikvahs nowadays have drains at the bottom, the drain has to be not like Kabbal Tumah. You can't have the mikvah stopped up by something that is Mekabel Tumah. 16, the note finish us on Zochlin. So my big machlokes what this means. So mechafilu makal, afilu kana, even a stick, afilu zav, zava, and even a zav and zava can hold the stick and keep the mikvah, the yori, the tovel, and tovel. Divrei Yehuda Yossi, Yomer Kol Davar Shemekabel Tumah, ein mazchil bo. Anything that's Mekabel Tumah, you're not mazchil. We pass the Rav Yossi. Anything that's Mekabel Tumah cannot be used to create a mikvah. So machlok is what this means. What is ein mazchilin? Some say it means you can't stop up a hole. Ein mazchilin means ein monim zechila. Ein, you know, ein mevatlim zechila. You can't stop up a hole with something Kabbal Tumah. Other shonim say, machlokes Rashi Rashi, no, it means you can't make the water flow from one place into your mikvah over something that's Kabbal Tumah, or held up by something that's Kabbal Tumah. So this is a big machlokes. Lamaisa, it's not so lamaisa anymore, but if you could have a plug, then that would be machlokes, what this mishnah means. Doesn't mean you can plug the mikvah with something Kabbal Tumah, or with something that's supported and held up by something Kabbal Tumah, or just that you can't make the water move with something that's Kabbal Tumah. Like if you wanted to go from one mikvah to the other, you can't put a board and let it go over the board if the board is for midras, or if the board is held by a person. Okay, that's a big machlokas. You can look at it inside. Lamaisa, that's also like one of the issues. How about the filters, you know? After all, the filters, the other tzad l'haklan filters, is that maybe it's not called zechila because it puts the water back into the same mikvah. So maybe zechila is only if it goes someplace else, not if it circulates back in. On the other hand, it goes through the wall meanwhile. So, yesh lodim l'kan l'kan. Anyway, okay, these are some basic concepts. You just have to know this concept also. It's called havayasol yidei mekabel tumah. that Reb Yossi, you can't have your mikvah created by something called Habotoma. Some people say it just means you can't get the water from point A to point B supported by something called Habotoma. We're machmir, you can't even plug it with something called Habotoma. So if you have a crack in the hole of your mikvah, you can't plug the crack with something that's Mekabel Toma. You can't even plug the crack with something that's not Mekabel Toma and hold it down with your hand, because then your hand is plugging it as Mekabel Toma, even indirectly. You have to just put something that's not Mekabel Toma that stands without the help of anything Mekabel Toma.
Wouldn't it be then the same exact focus as the Mishnah by Gavli Ashokas or the Sapsal that we had in connection to standing on something like Mekabel Toma?
Yes, that is that would have to do with this, but it's okay. That is complicated because that case is a little different. It would have gone without the thing that's Mekabel Toma. It just happened to go over the thing that's Mekabel Toma. Here we're talking about it needs the thing that's Mekabel Toma, so it's slightly different. Okay, anyway, this is a bit of an introduction to the mikvahs. Now, if you're ever building a mikvah, you'll know the basic concepts, even though you won't necessarily know how to paskin. Or if you're looking into a mikvah, you'll know the basic principles. And if you have time, it's good to go through Siman Reish Aleph. It's a very big job, though. How many seifim is it? Yeah, but it's not like some of the other ones we saw. It is only 75 seifim, and they're very hard. But it's still a good thing to do one of these days. Okay, Hajjan Allah, Hilchos Nida, and I wish everyone a lot of Siyata Deshmaya in your Chazara, and I believe that in 19 days, we have Bechina with no delays or extensions, no matter what. Okay. Do we have schnapps?
Yeah, always.